You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday the 4th of November, the day before Guy Fawkes Day. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and today I am joined by Mr. Dennis Wise, the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. We don't have Messerschmitt with us, but we do have Dennis with us. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. Well, I'm saying I'm fine. I don't exactly bring good tidings, but yeah, everything's as good as it can be at the moment.
So you're feeling a little bit better after your illness the other week?
Oh, yes. It's nothing to do with me, the feeling physical side of me. It's more what I've learned over the past few days. It's a little bit concerning, shall we say.
Yeah, I mean, we know that there's lots of bad things going on, but there are good things as well. Whenever I get down, I find myself thinking of Brexit. 17 million people voted for nationalism, and that always cheers me up. And also what's just been happening recently with the helping hand that Donald Trump has been given with Clinton, and this exposure of her being investigated again. You know, that cheers me up as well. I think we're going to be talking about that at some point in the podcast today. But what did you want to start off with?
Well, we're basically going to look at a few things that I found out about Kudinov-Kalergi. And Kudinov-Kalergi, this is, I believe, anyway, this is my total belief, this is central now to what is happening today in the world, in America and in Europe. His book, Practical Idealism, written in 1925, is central to the whole policy of what is happening today. So I'll just briefly touch on him, and then what I'll do, if I can, I'll just go into one or two things I learned about what's been going on in Germany, and then we can come back to the Clinton thing if you like. Is that all right?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I mean, this Kalergi plan, that's being mentioned more and more. You know, I'm seeing mention of it in the mainstream comment sections, the Daily Mail, Daily Express. People
really?
Are bringing up,
so
you know, the Kalergi
mainstream
plan. Yeah, it really is. I mean, everyone's just at a loss to explain why it is that we keep importing all these foreigners and why our governments are committing treason against their people. They just don't understand it. And it has to be planned, doesn't it? It has to be thought out and planned.
It's planned, all right. But the problem is, I think some of the things that are taking place weren't made up last week. This is a long-term plan which has been in the process. And whereas some people could say with the right, when something happens with the right wing, it's instantaneous, it's in your face, and you know things are not hidden. With the left, it's more subtle, it's more silent. It's a silent kind of culture that they have. Till eventually, you'll wake up one day like, and you'll be swallowed up to your throat, and it's too late to do anything about it.
Well, yeah, it's like a careful creep to get towards. We get to where we are today,
right.
Which
is worse in a way because you don't see it coming.
Yeah, it's like an inch at a time. But it has to be a plan, because the reason for bringing in the foreigners changes all the time, doesn't it? At first they said it was to do the jobs that we didn't want to do, and now they're giving they're demanding that we give all the television jobs to them. And I'm certain that that isn't jobs that the British people don't want to do. I'm sure lots of British people would like to be television stars and celebrities. Then they're saying, well, we have to bring them in because of war. They're war refugees, and yet there is no war in France or in Europe or any of the countries that these people are coming from. There's only war in Syria. So then they say, well, we should just be feeling sorry for them. That they'd be better off here. So we should bring them in here because they'd be better off here. So it changes all the time. So you know
there
has to be something different to what they're actually telling you.
Yeah, it's a plan. And the plan stems, to me, the bottom of the rabbit hole certainly is the founder of the Pan-European Union, who, along with Archduke Otto von Habsburg, head of the Habsburg dynasty, former Crown Prince of Austria-Hungary, they formed the EU. Like we spoke of before, Kundav Kalergi, son of a wealthy Austrian Japanese aristocracy born in wealth and power, was a Freemason, I believe, B'nai B'rith, which is a, although Freemason is Jewish to the core, B'nai B'rith is, you know, the battleship of Jewish Freemasonry. It stuck its nose in one or two events throughout history. The Bolshevik Revolution funding it is one of those. His intention is, because I looked a little bit deeper into things, as we know, I think Messerschmitt is taking a look at trying to translate a book which has never been totally translated into English. But the bit more I found out about him, his intention is that the races and classes have to disappear. He wants to replace the diversity of peoples, nations with the diversity of individuals. This new nobility is to be formed out of an existing aristocracy with the Jews. And according to him, the future man will be a synthetic and the races and classes will disappear. He has a hatred, what he calls a curse of culture, northern culture especially. He says the two things have driven men out of their paradise. Paradise for him being the southern regions of the earth. He says overpopulation and the hike into the colder zones. He says by overpopulation, man has lost the freedom of space. Obviously, today's agenda, you know, is the ensuing excuse of overpopulation, which needs to be sorted by the New World Order. But emigration northwards, he believes, lost the freedom of time, which by that he means leisure. He says because of the hard climate, forced involuntary labour to earn a living. He says man became a slave of the Nordic nature. So what he's saying is that these, when we, man emigrated from the southern states of Africa and Egypt or wherever into Europe, they became a slave to the cold weather, and the whole life had to change accordingly.
Well, that's a very Jewish view, I think. Thinking that
extremely Jewish view.
The white man doesn't want to work. I mean, that's looking at these hot countries and looking at the way that the Negroes are, who just graze basically on whatever they can find, and thinking, oh, that's the way of life we should have. So he's obviously showing that he thinks differently to white people anyway.
Yeah, because I thought this side of things would interest you. He says that culture, the northern culture, has destroyed three forms of beauty: freedom, leisure, and nature. This is his belief. He says the culture Europeans is an exile of the South, an exile of nature, in other words. The culture of the South, the Jewish culture, is the real culture, and the northern culture is against nature. The white man is the son of winter, and to overcome the cold, he has to tense muscles and mind to reach peak performance. He has to overcome the hostile nature, which is exactly what you're saying. This, you know, mindset of surviving in the harsher regions is not a problem because, you know, the northern culture is to work and work hard. Germany, especially.
The Jews
the Jews
don't want to work, so
this is the thing over Auschwitz, have
everyone else working for them. So this fits his philosophy well, doesn't it? The Jews at the top is the new aristocracy, and the new mudman of Europe, doing all the work for them.
But just probably all the wars as well, as we know.
You know, just to go back to what you were saying there about leisure time and work time, I mean, the ideal thing would be to work for a certain amount of time, but you also do need your leisure time.
Of course,
you
do.
You don't want to be working 16 hours a day. You want time to think and to do your gardening. And this is why, you know, man should have a house with a garden and a bit of land, that in his leisure time he can grow the fruits and the flowers and the trees and the plants that he wants, maybe keep a few animals so that he can grow his own food and get away from the work and become involved in nature as well. And of course, this has been done away with the immigration again, isn't it? We haven't got the room to do that anymore.
Well, we haven't. No, that's right. But what he's saying is about leisure time. It's the Jews who brought in working on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Where normally man would rest on a Sunday.
part of that was the immigration thing as well, because the Pakistanis and the Indians came over and they said, well, look at this stupid white man. He doesn't work on a Sunday. So it's a will work on a Sunday. And because they were allowed to, that then pushed the white man to have to work on a Sunday to compete. Whereas before exactly. then, on a yeah. Sunday, you used to go out for a walk and you didn't hear anything.
Take the family peace out, take quiet. A drive, whatever, yeah. just to chill, ready for another week's work.
Like Christmas Day on every Sunday. It's only on Christmas Day now that you don't hear all the cars and all the people yeah. working.
And they're out to get rid of that soon, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they have been out to get it for a while. That's why, by the way, and you know, like all listeners to do this, by the way, because it is a rebellion as such. I never write Xmas on a Christmas card. Never. Because that's Jewish. I always write Christmas, the full word.
Yeah, right. Christ on there. That's who the festival centres around.
That's right. So anyway, just to continue, as you said, the culture Europeans is in exile. The heat forces people to limit activity to a minimum. As you just mentioned, you know, in Africa, they just loll about all day, and the cold to the maximum. Always active, the heroic man of the North defeated the passive man of the South and conquered. So this is what he's saying, that the two passive in the South, because of the culture of living in heat. He says most military conquests in history were by the North people directed against those in the South. The gist of it is the white man is an uncivilized barbarian, and the South, i.e. non-whites, is where civilization and culture exists. The white man doesn't have its own culture. So Jews aren't white. They represent the civility of the South, and the Southern culture brought to the culture north to the white heathens. They're saying any culture that we've got, we stole.
Well, I think it's the other way around. I think we migrated north to get away from them, didn't we? If you
exactly.
look at migration patterns, we moved to the north
this,
and
this
to the west.
This is really a reverse of what Hitler and the Germans obviously felt. It's just a complete opposite way of thinking. It's two polar ends of, you know, this. And I'm not surprised there were World War II over. It was over race, I believe, you know.
Well, it's to protect and preserve the race, primarily the German yeah. race, but then also to protect and preserve all the European races. That's why he went against communism. And that's why exactly. the other European nations joined the Waffen-SS units, a million of them, or however many it was, all joined up, because the wider implications of preserving the Germanic race was to preserve all the European races.
And it's probably the reason why he used Britain, who was, you know, I suppose classed as European, but separate from mainland Europe and not aware of a lot of things, what's going on. And he used the British, the Anglo-Saxon, to invade Europe, to do the work of the Jew.
Right, so the wogs begin at Calais. I mean, we should be able to easily protect ourselves from this invasion. We're an island, Dennis. We have natural defences.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's why we managed to keep them out.
There's a Trojan horse.
Trojan horse is the Jews, isn't it?
The Jew is a Trojan horse. And also the fact that I didn't realise that Sharia law now is active in Britain. There's Sharia councils which are overruling British law now in certain areas. So consequently, what I showed Cameron saying in the documentary, Communism by the Back Doors, is a plan to Islamize Britain and also obviously Europe, as we'll talk about Germany shortly. But in Britain, I noticed on the news last night, there was a woman talking who represented a council who have Sharia law now, and saying that it's not the evil that many people think it is. It's a custom. We Islam, where, you know, it deals with divorce, it deals with marriage, but they forget to mention it also deals with beheadings.
Theresa May is a big fan of Sharia courts, isn't she?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, they all are, because this is the plan. I mean, let's get this, let me make no mistake. Any politician of any prominence, who rose to power like Blair and Thatcher and Heath and Churchill and, you know, whoever, right, knows about this plan. and have done since before World War II. They must have had this, there's just no hiding.
Well, they're given awards in the name of Coudenhove Kalergi, aren't they?
Certainly.
So what services are they rendering?
And that runs like a Dennis Wise hit list.
But what services are they rendering, if not that? I mean, it's a European Union award in the name of Coudenhove Kalergi for services rendered to the European Union. But what particular services to the European Union is
it? It's the instigation of immigration. That's what it is. The one who does the most towards that agenda. I mean, he won it himself in 1950, so there's no getting away from it. Edward VIII in 63, Clinton, Blair, even Pope Francis has won it this year. And that's not a shock to me because as a Catholic myself, I mean, you know, I look at Pope Francis as an anti-pope and my belief has nothing at all to do with his belief. So that's not a surprise. There's various people on here like his, well, if I was an it man, these are the people I'd go for.
Well, they're the ones that are the cause of our problems, aren't they? Like Merkel's on there, isn't she?
Yeah. Merkel's on there, yeah. Schultz, leader of the EU's on there. Pat Cox, I think. Is Pat Cox from Ireland, I think?
I'm not sure.
Well, Pope John II, he was another one. A Polish Jew, in fact. But that all stems from the Vatican II. Freemasonry, in the Vatican. So, yeah, it's just all one, it's all coming together. But the fact is, a lot of people have been fooled, as you quite rightly said. They use so many different excuses and they play on the fact. I mean, I'm sick of seeing Sky documentaries now of kids being dragged out at sea. It's just, I think the theme of it is the tragedy of the migration, when really the tragedy is the death of our race.
Well, it's all emotional blackmail, isn't it? But it's all but dead children on a beach, and because of that, we must open up the gates and allow our countries to be flooded with them. And yet, just the news out this week, just in the last 6 months in Germany, over 140,000 crimes have been committed by Merkel's
covered
millions.
Yes, yeah. Covered up.
140,000.
I think they say. That's in a year, but really, what is it, a week or two or
six
months?
Something like that. 6 months.
In 6 months, yeah. Yeah, it's horrendous. And I've watched a few videos lately of these invaders being brought in. As we know, they're all men of fighting age and just the destruction. I mean, Paris at the moment with Calais, which has just been broken down because of Brexit. Now in Central Palace, one of the great cultural centres of the world, are 3,000 tents. We, three and four Somalians to a tent in the centre of Paris.
Yeah, they're covering that up. There's mattresses all over the streets.
It's
litter because, everywhere.
Yeah, because they want. I mean, you came up with an idea a while back saying why don't we get an island? Put them all on it, give them some food, look after them, and then when war's over, send them all back. And a billionaire actually did come up with that idea as well, and it come to nothing because they're not interested in that. They're interested in getting them into Europe, and then, as Sarkozy would say, if you don't mix naturally, we'll bring out laws and make you forcibly.
And don't forget, Sarkozy is up for the presidential election in France next year as well.
Is he really?
Yeah, Sarkozy the Jew. Again, another Jew.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you combine that with the teachings of Barbara Spector, and you understand exactly why Sweden is like today, which is, anyone who rapes anybody in Sweden just gets off with a fine or less. Just to make sure that all these, in fact, when I think about it, there was an offer to ISIS fighters in Sweden as well. Free driving license, and free lessons and other perks. This is, this is in a country which is dominated normally by blonde hair and blue eyes.
Well, what they should be doing is exactly what that millionaire offered to do. What they should be doing is paying rent on an island off of Greece and putting them all on there in tents until the war's over.
Feed them,
until
water
they voluntarily
them.
Yeah. want to go back.
I've got a problem with that at all. That's what I would call humanitarian.
But they won't do that. And the fact that they won't do that proves that there's an ulterior motive behind it. And when you talk about the crimes that these people commit, Dennis, I, you remember that poor little boy in Austria, a Serbian boy, who was raped in a swimming pool by an Iraqi refugee who said it was a sexual emergency. He has now been let off. The judge said that he couldn't possibly know that the 10-year-old boy was not giving his consent. Well, so he's the guy off. And the only person to come out and speak about this is Vladimir Putin. I haven't heard a word of it from any of our politicians, but Putin has brought attention to this case in Austria and said, well, we're definitely not going to be having this in Russia. We are not going to be dealing this way with it in Russia. But that just shows you that they commit the most heinous crimes and then they're just let off.
Well, to be honest, if that was a 10-year-old son of mine, he wouldn't walk again. Never mind walk free.
It's horrific. That poor boy.
Walk again.
And the mother, had told the boy to be extra friendly to the refugees because the Austrians had been so friendly to them as Serbians when they came to Austria as refugees. This shows you the difference between white and non-white, doesn't it?
Well, they're just not civilized. They're not to be brought up in an environment where, you know, even the basic manners don't exist. So, you know, as soon as they enter a world which is as we live in, it's Pandora's box, isn't it? It's everything they dreamt of.
Well, our societies are built on trust. We don't need somebody stood there with a truncheon behind everyone, threatening to beat everyone or chop their hands off if they commit a crime. We know that if we take from somebody else, then you know we're taking from our society. But they don't realize that because this is a different society. They just see everything and want to take it. Because it's not taking from their own society, is it? It's taking from somebody else's. They don't suffer anything.
Exactly. And it's no good people saying to me, true national socialism would side with the Muslims like they did in World War II. But like I said, somebody who put that suggestion to me, these young Muslims don't have any attachment to national socialism anyway. And if they had, instead of raping German women, did respect German women.
Yeah, I don't think there's any link that can be put between, you know, I don't think you can draw any comparison between, division of Muslims for the Grand Mufti fighting against the communists alongside Germany. I think you can say because of that, Hitler supported Islam or would be supporting the invasion of Europe by Muslims.
No way whatsoever would he support what is happening today. We know that for a fact.
That was, that was fighting against godless communism. It was religious people fighting against godless communism, whether they were, you know, Muslim or Christian. And 99% of them were all Christian. It's only very, very small Muslim contingent. Well, what's your news from Germany this week?
We've got the gist now of what the mindset of Kudinov Kalergi. Well, I've learned this week from Germany. Where do you start? The fact that kids now in school are being forced to read the Quran. This is mandatory. A family, I think, was fined €1,000, I think, for not allowing their son on a school trip to a mosque. They didn't think it were right, and they got fined. But it's all this plan now to force Germans to be Islamic. We've seen the adverts on the TV with the white women wearing the hijab, turning, you know, walking down the street, then turning around and discovering it's a white woman wearing this hijab. And this is now being forced on school children in Germany where they have to read the Quran.
Well, they're also forcing them to visit mosques. They're forcing them to repeat the Allah snack bar slogan as well. And they've even gotten to repeat the bit where people become a Muslim. They have to recite a few verses from the Quran, saying what that they believe in Allah and what have you. And they've even get the school children to say that. So they're pretty much, you know, saying that they're going to become a Muslim. And Dr. Bill Warner talks about this because the jihad, which is on every Muslim, they are supposed to either take part in jihad or contribute to jihad in one way or another. And it's not all about violence. There's the jihad of interbreeding. There's the jihad of taking over the institutions, the jihad of taking over the textbooks and the education. Jihad is any by any means possible, turning the whole world to Sharia law and making the whole world Islamic. So it doesn't just have to be about violence. The ones that are committing the violence are sort of taking a little bit far in front, as it were. Because, you know, they would rather not be, the rest of them would rather they weren't doing that for another 10, 15 years until they're the majority.
Yeah.
Then they can start the beheadings and the crucifixions and all that sort of stuff. But because they've started doing it now, it means that people are waking up to the Islamic menace.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this will come to Britain as well, and this will come to America if it's not stopped. I mean, we've already heard Cameron talking about it. You've heard Obama. You know, that we are not an enemy of Islam. They're certainly not an enemy of Islam. But also coming in America, in Germany, I found out, is mandatory chipping in 2017. The media's not reporting this, apparently, but a source in Germany has said that it's going to be chipped between the finger and thumb, you know, the soft center of the hand. The excuse they're going to give is there's so many migrants now in Germany. They want to keep track of them because they don't want to get lost. And the frightening thing of this chip, apparently, is it can make a person aggressive. It can make a person passive. And it's also a listening device to conversations, as if Germany wasn't already under surveillance from World War II. And freedom of speech,
don't really understand that one. I mean, if they're going to be chipping the migrants to keep the track of them,
that's an excuse again. I mean, they're using the migrants as an excuse.
What is it? An RFID chip, like a radio frequency?
Yeah, it's like one of them little chips with wires around it, and you know, once it's in, I think Australia have been forced into it now. Otherwise, you don't get your benefits, so you don't get to a bank account or all the usual means of living is cut off.
Well, that's the worry about how far it could go, isn't it? Is that you could end up with all your credit on that, because they're trying to do away with cash. And if you had all your credit on that, they could just take that ability to use your credit from you, the same way as they take the ability to use PayPal from right-wing websites. They could just take the ability to transact in currency away from you from that chip. I don't know how they could listen in on people's conversations with it, though, if it was implanted into the skin.
Well, they can do it with mobiles. I mean, you can switch your mobile phone off and they can switch it back on again.
Yeah, but that's in your pocket, isn't it? If this is a chip that's in your skin, it's not going to be able to pick up voices. It could pick up what you were feeling through the heart rate and the blood flow. It could possibly pick up on your emotions, but I don't think they'd be able to pick up on conversations with it. That's something that, you know, you'd use a mobile phone for, because a mobile phone, you know, it's only going to be muffled up by the cloth of your trousers or your bag, but skin.
This is all I've been told. I mean, I don't look as the skin is particularly thick, and maybe you're right, but this is what I've been told. The fact that all this is coming to Germany means it's going to be coming to us as well at some point, whether we're in Brexit or not.
Well, that's the way that it goes, isn't it? They test these things out in one country first, and then if it works, they get away with it.
If it works, they then pass it around.
They're like testing out with the legalization of drugs. You know, they test that out in a few countries first, and then they try it in others. What they're trying to do now is set up a shooting room in Glasgow, I believe. And at first, I watched the news, and they said, "Oh, it's going to be for heroin addicts to take their drugs safely." And then they said that they're actually going to be giving them heroin in this room, and then they had somebody on the news, and he said, "But the problem is, if you ask heroin addicts, 95% of them say they want help to get off. They don't, you know, they don't say we want a safer place in which to take our heroin. They want help to get off it."
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure what the outcome of that's going to be, but sort of wondering about
what they're actually doing is, I think it's 20,000 a day are being pushed into Germany, because I think the figure of 10 million has been bandied around. This is the least amount that they need to change what they need to change. 20,000 a day, and it's like they've been all been housed next to the smaller villages in Germany, and so consequently these small villages of maybe 200 or 300 people are now living in fear because of the migrants in these camps close by, and it's just a horrendous. Let me put it this way, you know, if ever I think there's an alien agenda, this is it, because I can't believe a human being can think of such a psychopathic plan to extinguish a complete race without any feelings whatsoever, all been covertly. And you see the people like that slimeball Obama, you know, giving his speeches, and you know he's one of them behind it. Merkel's another one behind it. Cameron's another one. These literally slime balls. I mean, can they be that evil, you know, or is there someone else above them? I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I think there's a hatred for the white race that comes from the Jews, and it comes from them being an anti-race. We're mongrels, a bastardized race. And they have a hatred of everything that's natural and pure. So they have a hatred of beauty. So we have this new modern art, which is hideously ugly. They have a hatred of the beautiful Aryan woman, so they seek to defile her. You know, they seek to breed with these white Aryan women, so that instead of producing white children, they produce Mischlings, partial Jews with the hideously oversized Kalergi's ears and
children,
noses,
they call them.
And all the rest of it. Kalergi's children. Yeah, that's a good name for it to call these mixed breeds. But I think that's what's right at the root of it. You know,
Shadow of a doubt, that and the Kalergi thing is the bottom of the... If people could understand that, then things could change. But until people are 90% are oblivious to all this, until things can actually change. This is why I was surprised when you mentioned early on in the, you know, the program to say that mainstream is now reporting about Kalergi. That surprised me, because they've done so well to keep it under wraps for so long that no one knew about it. In fact, I think you mentioned it was the BNP leader
Griffin.
Nick Griffin, who gave a speech a couple of years ago. It was the first time that you actually heard of him, and certainly wasn't long after that I heard of him. So it's been really kept under wraps, and I can understand why.
Yes, but since then, as I say, it's most people have heard of it now. It's in all the comment section. But I was going to say, there's an old Greek adage which says that the bastard will forever be the enemy of the true born, the pure born. Because it's something that they can't have.
In nature, that's true, isn't it?
It's something that they can never have. So they seek to turn everyone like them. Take that away from everyone else.
There must be a level playing field.
Must be a deep resentment of the people that weren't born the way they are. You know, people that are actually born naturally, that have a heritage and that have ancestors and that aren't a mongrelized mix from various different races. You know, they must really resent that and be jealous of the people that are. I think that's what it stems from. A deep hatred and resentment.
And the way that they've brainwashed people into thinking that, you know, to say anything against anything like that is racist. You know, you're actually trying to save your own race. But it's so ingrained in people's minds now that nationalism is racist and is extreme, that this allows all this race mixing and gender changing, gay activity to come to the fore. It's been manipulated and socially engineered, whereas, you know, the majority was not even knowing.
When you speak out against it, that's it. They accuse you of being racist. But what is racism? But just, you know, showing a preference for your own family. According to the definition, the most modern definition, it's discriminating between races. It's actually seeing a difference between one race and another. And of course there is a difference. You know, there's a difference between black and white. What that's they're saying is if you admit that there is a difference between black and white, then you are a racist. Which it just goes to, it's like telling somebody that 2 and 2 = 5. Yeah, we're right in the middle of Orwell's 1984, aren't we?
What happens is in Germany, the case of Germany, as I found out again this week, is that when these Muslims are sent en masse into the place and laws are set up against the German people and for these Muslims, making it easier for them to be tempted to come there, is we're now getting criminal gangs and mafias. There's a mafia now instigated in Germany, and you'll see now that many of the restaurants have been closed down because they've been threatened. If they sell pork, the family will be threatened and the place burnt down because they regard this territory now as theirs, a Muslim. And this has caused a lot of restaurants in Germany to close.
Well, that's what they're doing, isn't it? They're taking over the territory. Yeah. It just seems obvious to them, you know, to move into a territory, move into a place and, you know, buy up all the houses, get all your cousins and brothers and friends to move in there. Once we've got the area to ourselves, we can keep the police out and we can instigate Sharia law. And that becomes our own Islamified part of the country. And we have these parts.
And the Jews are happy to see that.
Yeah, Jews are more than happy to see that because then the Jews don't stand out so much.
That's right. They are behind the curtain, and eventually, as Krudenov Kalergi wanted, he'll have a mongrelized race with a low education, but yet intelligent enough to work.
And none of them will be able to have any solidarity between one another. None of them will have any heritage. They won't be able to get together and cause a revolution because they won't be able to trust one another because they've got no instinctual trust of one another because they're all a mongrelized mix of these different races.
So just it's up in the air completely. It will be a different world to what we're living in now, because as you say, all these the instincts of what's been for thousands of years inbred into a certain race, different instincts, different races, will go. It'll be just like a zombified Europe.
Well, it will look like India. That's what it will look like. I think that's the best example of what happens when a formerly white race turns brown is India. You know, there'll be people crapping in the streets because they won't know how to make a sanitation system.
Embrace that kind of thing, won't they?
Yeah, they won't know how to purify water or keep the water clean. I doubt very much whether they will even be able to find water, because to find water, you have to douse. That's something that only the white man can do, as far as I'm aware. Negroes don't seem to be able to do it.
India, the elite do rule over the poor. So I'm looking at that as a fair point, what you've just made.
Well, it's a colour gradation system, isn't it? The whiter you are, the higher caste you are. And that's ingrained in their religion. But it also happens wherever you get that, because the same thing happens in Brazil. You know, the darker you are, the lower class you are. And the whiter you are, the higher class that you are, because the whiter you are, the more abilities you're going to have. You're throwing those abilities away if you interbreed with one of these dark races, but they make that out to be such a virtuous thing to do nowadays.
I know it's a virtue being the word, yeah.
To destroy, yeah,
they think they've got the moral high ground. I think
it's no moral high ground to be responsible for the destruction of your race.
Well, this is what Clinton is advocating behind her, attempted to fool the women of America, where she's trying to lead the way as a champion of women and the working class. But obviously, her agenda is that of this European agenda as well. She's a Rothschild. She's a speaker for Wall Street. And so I was pleased to hear of the situation over in America, where Trump now has the momentum. And I said this after I actually sat down and watched Sky the other night, Sky News, and I said to the wife, what's going on? Because I could see a rally of Trump's, and I could see the Sky reporter there, who normally is quite buoyant in saying that this sexual predator, blah, 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 was quite down in the dumps and trying to minimize this big crowd which had turned up in Michigan for Trump, and I knew something had gone on. So I went back on the internet, and from what I could gather, on a couple of days before, obviously, the FBI had reopened the email case. They'd found another 650,000 emails on top of the 33,000 had gone missing. And obviously that caused a reaction in the Trump camp. Trump was really strutting that night. He was going to town, calling her a criminal, and the crowd were really up. And I just thought the momentum seemed to have just made this old campaign buoyant again after him taking a bit of a battering the last few weeks from the media with the revelations of things happening 10 years ago. So apparently I looked a bit more into it, and James Comey, who they, the Democrats, were lording as a god only, you know, a couple of weeks ago, because he refused to, you know, go any further with the emails, and that even after Clinton had lied to Congress. So all of a sudden, he has now made the decision to reopen it. And I looked into it a little bit, and apparently, since his backing of Clinton and obvious, you know, whether or not he was instructed to from higher above, I don't know. It was quite obvious he was covering up for her. He had a lot of resignations being planted on his table in the FBI. There were a lot of people who weren't happy with the situation. And even his wife said to him, "You've made a mistake." And so apparently when this arose again, he had taken he'd sworn, that if, you know, evidence did arise again, that he would open up the case whenever that may be. And so he's been absolutely lambasted in the media by the left for what they're claiming, that he is now instigating you know, a defeat of Clinton in the election. Whereas the problem really was is that the Democrats knew quite well at that time that Clinton was under investigation from the FBI, and they proceeded to use her as their choice to run for president. So nobody in the right mind would do something like that in a small company. Offer them a chance of a job or a top job while they're on the investigation of the FBI. But they certainly did, the Democrats. And now it looks as though there's been a kind of overnight, there's been a kind of what they regarded at first as a coup on the internet by the Clintons, by the corruption of the foundation of the Clintons. There's a certain amount of people now have counter reacted to that, and a coup against them, which has resulted in all these revelations this week, which has upset the Clinton campaign. And the emails is one. They've actually been feeding Wikipedia, Julius Assange, with emails to bring out. And also we find out that Donna Brazile, who worked for CNN, has been sacked, because it's also been found out that she handed over Hillary Clinton questions and answers to a recent debate. So she's been found out, she's been sacked, and Donald Trump asked the question, and rightly so, why didn't Hillary Clinton, when receiving these answers and questions, why didn't she do the moral thing and turn them in? But she didn't. She used them to her advantage, and hopefully now she's going to pay the price.
Well, I think it shows that there's a massive conspiracy at the highest levels. They're all colluding. You know, they're all plotting together in order to put Hillary Clinton on the throne, no matter what. You know, they pretty much, I mean, it looked like she controlled the FBI. And even now, when the FBI has said, "We're going to be investigating you," she's saying, "Well, the FBI has to release all of this now. It has to do this, it has to do that." And I thought, well, you're in no position to be telling the FBI what they have to do. You're under investigation. They tell you what you have to do. But she's desperately saying, oh, people must go out and vote now, because she's terrified of what those emails.
Well, what's annoying is I think 20 million have already voted, because Trump were calling for these votes to be turned over, you know, for so people can vote again, because they were unaware of the situation. And I find that unbelievable. 20 million have already voted.
Well, a lot of them may have already voted for Donald Trump. I hope that's
Certainly, I think there's two camps now in America. Don't get me wrong; I'm not a great fan of Stephen Pizzinek, who actually released this information. He's worked at the highest level with the Bushes and Kissinger, and they've counteracted this coup, which they said the Clintons had instigated on the internet with their own coup, which has caused all this upset in this past few days. And they're adamant that they will not allow Clinton into the White House. And they're even adamant that even Obama might face charges because, he's been a party to all this. I think what it is that people have realized there's a communist plot along the lines, obviously some people high up are not happy about it and have took actions to try and stop it.
Well, this chap, I forget his name, with a Russian sounding name, he claims
that he's a Jew, by the way.
He is a Jew, is he?
Well, he's a Jew. Right. He's worked for Kissinger, he's worked for Bush, he's worked for a host of people who I wouldn't exactly be admiring of, but they are anti-Clinton and they've gone out of their way to block the presidency.
Well, he claims that Julian Assange has been releasing the emails which they fed to him. He claims that's they're right. The ones that fed them to him. In which case, they could say that he's trying to interfere with the electoral process. I'll be very careful about him because he's a Jew, as you say.
Yeah, exactly.
Who he's worked for and quite what he's hoping to achieve by doing that. Because what they've been saying is that because the FBI are now investigating her, that's interfering with the election. Yet they didn't say it was interfering with the election when the FBI said they were not investigating her anymore. Don't forget.
Yeah, exactly the same result, yeah.
When it worked in Hillary Clinton's favour, they said nothing. When it works in Donald Trump's favour, they claim that it's illegal. But there's been so much illegality in this election. It's unbelievable. Look at the voter intimidation of the Trump supporters. Look at all that intimidation that's gone on.
$1,500 they were paid to go to a Trump rally and cause eruptions.
And
that's coming in WikiLeaks.
$1,500. To Hillary Clinton for that as well. There's direct links to her for paying for rebel rousers and agent provocateurs to go to the Trump rallies. On top of that, you've got the media conspiracy to constantly attack Donald Trump. And just yesterday on the BBC News, they interviewed some people in Japan, and it was about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And they had this Japanese woman, dubbed obviously, and she was saying, oh, they can't possibly vote for Donald Trump. Look at the way that he talks about women. And this is absolute nonsense. Yeah. The Japanese love Donald Trump. And to claim that, look at the way he talks about women, I mean, Japan has vending machines with schoolgirls' knickers in them. You know, they don't think very much of equality. They're unbelievable. And they were trying to portray it that Japan doesn't want Donald Trump to be elected. It's obviously
well, the thing about women, I mean, Obama, you know, the old agenda from the left in America is transgenderism. They want to get rid of gender. They just want, you know, one sex, which is, you know, bisexual and based on Baphomet. And so the women in America have been sadly disillusioned because all this is long-term agenda, which, you know, Obama's often been seen to approve of.
Well, Alexander Dugin has some good comments on that. You know, he says they try to get rid of race and the mongrelization, and then try to abolish gender and get rid of the gender. And where do they go from that? Well, they get rid of the human himself, the human being, humanity. They get away, they destroy what it means to actually be human, all of our humanity. Yeah. So instead of having compassion,
downloading things and making half a computer, yeah.
So instead of having compassion for other living beings, we no longer have compassion and we're entirely material. We don't have that spiritual aspect any longer because we've done away with gender and we've done away with race and we do away with what it means to be humane. So we just become the individual a materialistic individual.
That's what it talks about, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's where it's all heading to. Hillary Clinton thing, I think she's getting really desperate. She's clutching at straws. So all she's got to answer to these allegations is Donald Trump doesn't like women.
Well, apparently, I mean, don't get me wrong, I never trusted the polls throughout the campaign when they were saying Clinton in front, but apparently they're saying now that he's gone ahead in the polls. So we're a week to go. It's still a long time in politics, but, you know, the timing of this couldn't be better for Trump. he has stuck a battering in the last few weeks for something, you know, what everyone said at one point in a locker room, especially 10 years ago, when things were different anyway, you know, weren't as much of a politically correct society. So, yeah, you know, I'm quite pleased, because the one thing, Trump's an unknown to a certain extent, but we know what Hillary is. We're going to get World War III if she's voted. If you don't vote Trump, she's still going to get in. So there's no alternative. You've got to vote Trump and hope that the guy actually follows through with what he says. I saw one of his rallies the other night where he had a guy up on stage preaching that, you know, that he loves Christianity, he loves that culture, you know, and he's going to do everything to ensure it exists in America. There's freedom for religious practice. And they even had people quoting what school kids have now been told that they don't have to say, because it's got, you know, it's got the word God in. They had all the audience reciting it, Pledge of Allegiance. And, you know, they were all reciting it, One Nation Under God, which was great to see. You know, I mean, this was music to my ears, and amongst a couple of other things as well. I mean, for Obama, you know, to come out and say that the kids no longer have to read the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because it's got the word God in, is just shows you exactly where how communism is trying to take hold of America completely.
Well, Trump's talking about getting rid of Common Core as well. I mean, just about everything that you can think of, which would be a good thing to do, he's suggesting doing. I mean, those rallies, have been amazing to watch, some of them. Really moving. You know, you can really feel the energy and just, you know, so pleased with what he's saying. He's saying some wonderful stuff. I can't believe that there are still some people that claim to be nationalists that are against him.
Yeah, you think it would be... I mean... She's a failure by the fact that she is an experienced politician of 30 years, and Trump was still only 2 points, so they say, behind her, and is a relative novice. So that is an insult to the capabilities of Clinton anyway. But certainly, I mean, nobody trusts her, not even her own followers say that, you know, you could trust her. So how the hell she's anywhere near the White House, it has to be protection from above.
Well, this Clinton Foundation is really dodgy, isn't it? Incredibly dodgy.
Well, yeah, and it's been stripped open now. I mean, you know, there's been Saudi Arabia's been paying them millions. So she just goes along, gives a mumbled speech for 20 minutes and comes away with billions. And, you know, they've certainly got more money than Trump available for the campaign, as we've seen with all the adverts, et cetera. So I'm over the moon, because I've never liked Clinton's, to be honest. I mean, he was a child of the Rothschild set up at Oxford. And you know, when he first came on the scene, he looked like a young Kennedy. I can remember him walking down when he won the election. He was walking down to it, you know, towards when he was getting installed as president with his wife. And everything looked great. And then when you look a bit deeper, he was an absolute traitor, as we find him on the Kudinov Kalergi list.
Well, when he left, I think on his last day in office, he pardoned a criminal, and this criminal was due to receive 300 years inside, and he pardoned them, and they just happened to have donated $1 million to the Clinton Foundation.
That's right. That's right. And obviously, his antics as president, his morals were that of a gutter cat. And how they had the nerve to actually have a even bring up the subject with Trump is beyond me. And rightly so, Trump would turn around, didn't he? And he said, if you're going to bring this up, I'm going to bring up Bill Clinton's record. And rightly so. And to me, he should have done it earlier. Oh, but he was trying to be, trying to be a gentleman, you know, but you've got to understand this is not a woman. This is a lizard. Absolute power.
Serbia was bombed under Bill Clinton, and Kosovo given to the Muslims. Give them to the Albanians so it could become a drug trafficking centre. Bill Clinton's got all these links to this drug trafficking, the Afghanistan heroin supply. Trump really is, I think he's correct when he says this is the most corrupt administration that America has ever had.
And it's so covered over by Obama. Granted, the longer he stayed in office, the more the skin could peel back. But when he first came to power, you would never have guessed the evil behind the guy. I mean, this you know, we could hear Bush coming. This is a different kind of evil. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when you think about it, people were saying that it was because of George Bush. He was a change from George Bush.
And, not at all.
Because he was black, it was going to be different. But he's just advanced, you know, the whole New World Order plan more than any other president
more than any other. Yeah, I mean, they've actually handed the internet over to the United Nations. So, you know, in a couple of months, few months' time, the United Nations will be monitoring the internet, and they're a communist organization, as I've proven in communism by the back door. So we're going to have the internet controlled by communists.
Well, that is a worry. You know, I mean, we have had our free speech on there up until now because it's been managed by America. All you can hope is that the agreement will be that there's no change to how it is now. And that they have to keep
hopefully,
those laws
if Trump wins, I mean, I know he's not a liker of the United Nations. He doesn't agree with NAFTA. He doesn't agree with a lot of policies which are pointed out in communism by the back door, simply because they are communist policies. I don't think he wants to see an America joined up with Canada and Mexico. I think that's, you know, another reason why he wants a wall. He wants America to stay America. And, you know, any American with half a brain would realise that and ignore whatever Clinton says.
You've also got the Constitution. Donald Trump is big on the Constitution, and free speech is a part of the Constitution. So I could, he's going to protect that. He's going to protect people's right to say things which are politically incorrect. I mean, that's been a big part of his platform as well, is destroying political correctness, making it so that we can discuss these subjects in the public without fear of being accused of being racist. Because
the only people who'll be offended are the lesbians and these, you know, Black Lives Matter, and all of those are funded by Jews anyway.
Well, they're a terrorist organisation, Black Lives Matter. They use violence to achieve political aims. Now, that's what a terrorist organisation is.
No different to the Black Panthers, same thing.
Oh, you know, they go out killing the police. If they go out breaking the law in any way, then they're a terrorist organisation. You look at what Black Lives Matter do. Just look at the intimidation of the Trump supporters. If any of this that has gone on in this current election had gone on in any other part of the world, they would be condemned as being completely corrupt and the election being completely false and weighted to one particular side. Now, I think America's got to see this. You know, well, I don't see how they can't, to be honest.
I think they are starting to understand Trump, because when he's saying the election's rigged, you know, it doesn't take a genius to see it is. And there's 46 states now have come out and said that they want some kind of authority to watch over the electoral voting systems that they've now had to use. Because even the states are worried that because of going through computers, etc., it's even more open to rigging. So, you know, it's a step in the right direction when the states are worried.
Yeah, see, I think 65% of Americans don't have faith in the electoral system. But we'll, by this time next week, we'll know what who the winner was, Dennis. And
to be. Let's hope and pray that she doesn't get anywhere near.
Yeah, and best wishes to Trump, and best wishes to all our American listeners. Make sure you go out there and vote for Donald Trump next week. And we'll be back next Friday with more Truthful Out Radio for you. Dennis, do you want to let people know where they can find your work before we finish?
Sure, yeah. Communism by the Back Door is at truthwillout.tv, and also Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, .tv is the website where you can watch that for free as well. And coming off 5 years and two documentaries just about wiped me out, but I'm pretty sure that if anybody wants to go through them two documentaries, they will find out the problems what are going on today.
They certainly will. We'll be back next week, and I'm sure we'll be discussing the results next Friday. I'm not sure whether we'll have Messerschmitt with us or not. We might do. But anyway, thank you very much for coming on once again, Dennis. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. And we'll see you next week for more of Truthful Out Radio at radioarian.com.